one thing that I've seen in every tech ecosystem, I've worked in a lot, is that every tech ecosystem builds around what is native to that environment.
Imagine living your normal day and getting your car fueled up on demand. Seriously, check out LA startup Refill Fuel and enter code WeAreLATech for $10 off. That's Refill Fuel. It's amazing. Literally, you can be anywhere and have your gas totally topped off the tank and not even have to deal with it. No more gas stations. To go to refillfuel.com. That's refillfuel.com. Code WeAreLATech for $10 off. We could not do this without the community believing in our vision together. We Are LA Tech is independently funded, funded by you, the community. So to support We Are LA Tech, go to patreon.com/WeAreLATech. That's patreon.com/WeAreLATech. This is part one of a two-part episode featuring Mike Prasad. Mike Prasad is original LA Tech. Back when in 2007, 2008, when there pretty much was no LA Tech scene, it was Prasad's work that led to LA Tech becoming a top three city. It's incredible. So part one is going to focus on how did LA become one of the top three cities for startups? And then part two is going to focus on his current company, Tiny Sponsor, and how micro influencers are the new most impactful influencers that exist and why sponsors want to tap into that market. Enjoy. Welcome back to the We Are LA Tech podcast. Oh my God, you guys, I am so excited to have OG LA Tech in the sound studio right now. No joke. Mike and I have known each other for years, like what, 2007 or 8?
Like a decade.
A really long time. Yeah. We've known each other forever. And I mean, when Mike and I met, Twitter was new.
Twitter was very new.
Like, we used to use it kind of like text messaging.
It was like us messaging all of our friends and saying, hey, let's go hang out. Yeah. Instead of massive text messaging.
Yeah. It was incredible. So we're going to get into how LA Tech was. We're going to get into Mike's company, Tiny Sponsor. We're going to get into like how Mike initially made a name for himself in the tech industry. We're going to get into it all. But to kick it off, Mike, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Sure. I'm Mike Prasad. I'm the founder of Tiny Sponsor. And we are a marketplace for content creators and influencers to sell sponsorships to brands and small businesses.
And micro influencers are like the new. That's like where everything's going now.
Yeah. I mean, everyone has their own argument to what's better. But when it comes down to it, if you have smaller follower accounts, you have a better conversion per 1,000 followers because they're more personal and they're more unique.
Yeah. Like I know I'm about to go on the Women in Tech road trip. And Kia is powering the Kia Niro they were taking. Why? Because I'm a micro influencer in the women in tech space. And they wanted somebody that has that really strong emotional connection with their fans. And then it gets a little bit hard the larger you get because you may have like a zillion, you know, followers or listeners, but they're not actually taking action on the stories that you're sharing because they're getting lost in a huge crowd.
Well, and also if you look at the algorithms in different platforms, you're getting less visibility per 1,000 followers because you can't possibly show every single follower that you have that content because there's just too much content they're following.
Right. And so, okay, let's bring it back. When did you start your career in technology?
Oh, man. Middle school?
Okay, what happened in middle school?
No, like probably high school, early high school. In ninth grade, I taught myself how to do graphic design. My dad worked at Oracle, and so I had one of the old corporate laptops, so I had some power. And I got to play with it, and I had access to all the software I wanted, and so I learned Photoshop and some 3D rendering and some fun stuff. And got into doing graphic design and eventually web design. And so I had...
That's young, dude.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, it was just something to play with. And then I realized that a local business would pay me $1,000 to do something. And in high school, $1,000 is like a crazy amount of money. Yeah. So
$1,000 is still a crazy amount of money.
Yeah. But for a high schooler, that's like 10 grand to
that's
us.
That's like, yo, I'm rolling in the G. And so, okay, how did you parlay that experience when you were in junior high to becoming a professional in the space as you became an adult?
So in high school, I found a buddy of mine who was a programmer. And originally I was front end and design, not like back end and programming. Right. So him and I teamed up and we were like, hey, we can sell these to like local businesses and help them with their marketing and their design and then build the website for them. And the whole package would be like $5,000-$10,000 and we'd be balling.
Yeah.
And it worked really well. And it taught me how to figure out how design, marketing, technology made a business actually grow.
Right, right, right.
Because we had to sell them as a solution. And so we were doing that in high school, and then that kind of went into college and started an agency, a boutique agency at that point, and got more into building solutions for other people. That led into building my own startups. GirlGamer.com was one of the first ones. Another company called Diamond Eye, which was a gambling platform for Vegas and some other fun stuff. So getting more on the tech side and being a tech entrepreneur, startup entrepreneur. And then after that, getting into the venture side and now going back to what I know and love, which is media and tech.
It's incredible. And today you're focused on Tiny Sponsor, but you made a huge name for yourself, especially like you were like this local celebrity for all of us because...
I don't know if I'm the local celebrity, but...
Oh, come on.
But chefs know me.
Yeah.
So I was one of the co-founders of a food truck called Kogi Barbecue.
Most popular in Los Angeles and now probably beyond, right?
Yep. And it was the, well, so Kogi itself was only in LA, which is what...
Oh, it is only in LA.
Yeah, it's such a big brand. People think it's everywhere, but it's not. But Kogi was the very first food truck that wasn't a roach coach on a corner, that had a brand that was fusion, that had this awesome chef, Roy Choi, and leveraged social media. We were probably the first major business case of social media.
Right.
Because this was in 2008.
Right.
And Twitter only got really big at South by Southwest in 2007.
Yeah.
And I only knew about Twitter because I was up for a web award at South by Southwest against Twitter.
Get what?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So South by Southwest has a web awards.
Yeah.
And it was, well, it wasn't me. It was my business partner, Anand, and he had a blog called April Zero, and him and I worked together. We had a little agency.
Yeah.
And he was on stage and we both went and there was snook.ca, BuzzFeed, and Free. Twitter.
And you guys.
And us.
That's wild.
And we lost to Twitter because they call themselves a microblog.
No, that's wild.
So I was like, what the hell is this microblog thing? Because we did not just fly here and lose to them, did not know what they were. I signed up and then came back to LA, started using it and doing tweet-ups.
Yeah.
And so,
tweet-ups!
Yeah.
Do tweet-ups still exist? No. I forgot about tweet-ups. We used to go to tweet-ups all the time. They were huge.
The idea for Kogi Barbecue was tweeting up at a truck.
Yeah.
That was where it started.
Yeah. It's incredible. I remember the way I discovered Twitter was, okay, so when I built my sports company, this is before WordPress and everything, so I built it like PHP, there was no open source, there was no fast way to do it. And there was this company, it was a shoe commerce company called Zappos.
Yeah.
It wasn't like known at the time, but they were really well written about as a company that had the fastest loading website. So I wanted to study how this commerce company with a lot of images had the fastest loading website, and I wanted to study their code or their development or whatever. And so then this guy, Tony Hsieh, got involved, and then he started using Twitter. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I want to figure out everything this company, Zappos, is doing. And then Zappos became a cultural phenomenon too.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what is it with like 2008, you know, and like Zappos and Twitter, and even like Facebook was just growing then, right? It hadn't dominated the world yet. That was around 2008 too. Like, when did Facebook break out? It was still like universities. 2008 was like between 2007 and 2009 were just revolutionary years for what was to become the future of marketing and branding and how we interact as technology companies.
But I think what was interesting about that year is that's when you started to see a lot of transition from desktop to mobile. Like Twitter was working on SMS, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And Facebook was kind of getting, people were using it to interact in real life. So this whole transition of digital to real life to eventually mobile.
Yeah.
Really started evolving in use cases around then.
Totally. Totally. It's crazy. And so we've known each other. So how have you seen, we're talking about Austin, Texas a lot, but how have you seen Los Angeles transform from where we were back in 2007, 2008, 2009 to today? being the top three tech city in the world. First of all, do you remember the photo back then where like all of us fit in the photo at South
By? That was all of LA Tech
like
in one photo.
All of LA Tech fit in one photo. Yeah.
And if there was a bomb in that room, literally, we wouldn't have LA Tech.
No. And I remember I found out about South by Southwest. So building my sports company. So South by Southwest was at least what I thought was a music conference. And I used to, with my sports company, work with Dim Mock. I don't know if you know Steve Aoki's Dim Mock. And one of the business guys with Dim Mock told me about South by, this music place. And so Jonathan Dingman, who's amazing.
Oh, Jonathan Dingman.
He's like the most amazing WordPress developer on the planet. Jonathan Dingman goes, you know what? And, you know, Carl, be sure to like put Jonathan's links in the show notes. Jonathan Dingman goes, why don't you come with us? It was like the day before. Why don't you come with us to South by Southwest? And I was like, the music conference? He's like, no. There's like a tech thing. And I'm like, and I got a Southwest ticket and just like flew there. I think I crashed like with other people in their hotel room. Like it was crazy. It was crazy.
It was small. It was a couple dozen people. I remember seeing Jeff Bezos just walking down the hall and no one giving a shit.
It was crazy. It was a crazy time. Yeah. And now tech overtook, their tech interactive at South by overtook.
Yeah.
The music and everything else. It was the most influential, brought in the most money. It's just amazing what we've been able to be a part of. So yeah, how has Los Angeles gone from, you know, ever all of us fitting in a photo? Where is it today? And what have you noticed about that trajectory?
There's a lot of things. So back then I almost left LA to San Francisco. I was tempted to move to San Francisco. And I was like, I want to be in tech. I'm already working in it. There's not much of a community here. But there was Twitter and there were some of us tweeting on Twitter. Yeah. And that's how we got to know each other. These LA geek dinners.
Yeah.
And so these small groups of people that were all like, well, we want to be in LA, but we need to do this.
Yeah.
And so Digital LA came out of that.
Yeah,
like
totally.
You had a lot of the original VCs, like Mark Suster was back in that day was doing that. And there's a small group of people.
Yeah.
But it was very this community saying, we're trying to be a community.
Yeah.
And the community was tons of collaboration. We went, we had people from San Francisco going back and forth.
Yeah. I used to fly there every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's all about Virgin America.
Yeah.
And,
totally.
And so that was the beginning. And if you look at the cornerstones of LA Tech now, that came from that. They all came from that group.
Right. It did. Sean Percival,
Mark Suster, you. Kevin Winston, Paige Craig, Paige single-handedly, like I would argue, put a lot of the angel investing scene and got it going because he was willing to make those investments. Yeah.
I think the next step after that portion of our connectivity was Cam Kashani and her co-founder, coming to LA with Coloft. It was about 2009. Mm-hmm. So I used to have this meetup group at, an office with a movie theater for my sports company, and I had Entrepreneurs Anonymous nights. and you weren't allowed to switch business cards or anything, and I would play movies. And so Cam Kashani and her co-founder came, and they were like, oh, we're building a co-working space. And I'm like, oh, what's that? They're like, they're all over San Francisco. They're like the newest and they're the best. And I was like, well, I'll check it out. And it was while the building was still in construction.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was crazy. And I remember when I met with them initially, they were talking about, you know, everything they were going to do with the community. And I was like, oh, you got to like make money. Like you have to focus on making money. And they're like, look, community first, profit second. And they stuck true. And I truly think the LA tech scene would not exist, at least not as powerful as it is today, if it wasn't for Cam Kashani's community work in 2009 and building up that hub for the LA tech community at Coloft.
I agree. The origination of effectively Silicon Beach was basically Cam Kashani and Paige Craig.
Yeah.
On two sides of the equation.
Community and money.
Basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that gave everyone the resources to do stuff.
Yeah.
And Cam gave them the platform to connect. And all that came together and solidified and then became what we now know as Silicon Beach.
Yeah. Supposedly. I read in some article somewhere. Is this even true? Supposedly, like, Paige is the one that came up with Silicon Beach?
If I remember right, it was him and I want to say Nicole Jordan.
Nicole Jordan! Yeah. Shout out to Nicole Jordan. She's amazing.
And we were I believe we were, I don't know if it was that night, but there was a night where we were all hanging out at Paige's rooftop on his place, like in Venice.
Yeah, he did this all the time.
And he did it all the time. It was all one of those barbecues. Nights where it started, because he was like literally on the beach.
Yeah.
And I think it started as a joke or something, but then it stuck.
Yeah, it's crazy. And now there's all these like Silicon Beach things. What does Silicon Beach mean to you? Because to me, Silicon Beach is everything from, I was just talking to Neil from Startup San Diego, and I was like, Neil, we need to like collaborate because we need to make sure that we're all supporting one another as the Silicon Beach thing. So I view it as like from San Diego all the way up to like Santa Barbara, all the way like to Silver Lake and downtown and Pasadena, all the way over to the beach and everything. Where do you see Silicon Beach as
being? I don't know. I mean, it's a loose term, right? I would say it's more indicative of the community than the geography.
Yeah.
And to be fair, so my office, we have an office in Playa Vista.
Yeah.
I work out of Hollywood as well.
Yeah.
I spend a lot of time downtown.
Yeah.
Downtown would not call themselves Silicon Beach, right?
What do they call themselves?
I don't know. But the point is that they wouldn't call themselves Silicon Beach. So, and I think it's a little bit of a different mentality. The downside to the community being so big is that there's a scene for better and for worse.
Yeah.
And so you have the pros and cons of that.
Yeah.
And if I had to draw a general map, it's basically anywhere west of the 405.
Right. Yeah.
And within a couple mile radius, north-south radius of the 10.
Yeah.
Right, in general.
But I like what you said. I think it's, you're right. It's about just a concept of the type of community that exists in this general region.
It's a culture, right?
Yeah, it's a culture.
And that's really, and again, cultures have good and bad things. San Francisco has its own startup culture, just like New York does, just like LA does.
And San Francisco, is confusing in that way too, because in San Francisco, if I remember all the areas right, you have like Menlo Park and you have San Jose and you have, when people say Silicon Valley, we think it's like a wide range, kind of like LA. It's a wide, like it's an hour or more train ride to some of these places.
Yeah.
From San Francisco. Well,
like San Jose to San Francisco, it's about an hour.
Yeah.
And there's this idea of Silicon Valley as this all-encompassing thing. For me, when I think of LA and the startup scene, I don't think of really Silicon Beach. I think of LA Tech.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm so glad. So I came up with, there's this amazing organization in New York called We Are New York Tech. And they're a lot different than We Are LA Tech in the sense that they have this gorgeous website and it's all about like profiling. I think it's run by a lot of like web design talent and it's about profiling these people in the community. I'm really inspired by what they do. And I'm glad that I landed on LA Tech rather than the term Silicon Beach. I'm not really a big fan of like Silicon Beach.
Other meanings of silicon.
Yeah, totally. And that's kind of where my head goes. But I like the word tech. I think tech is just a straightforward, just tech. And then it makes it more broad too. And it applies to more people.
And more accessible, right?
Yeah.
So one thing that I've seen in every tech ecosystem, I've worked in a lot, is that every tech ecosystem builds around what is native to that environment. So LA has content and media. San Francisco has high technical skill, right?
Yeah.
And New York has more marketing and big brands and finance. And so every ecosystem is going to build around that. Like you look at like even Austin, it's building around a lot of these, like Dell and some other companies that are Texas-based, right? You have a lot of that overlap there. So you adopt, technology is one aspect, and then you build around it based on what that local culture is.
Right.
And LA is largely an origination point of culture for the rest of the world, and at least for the US.
Yeah.
So having that happen in tech, if you look at our successes, it's very distinctly different than the successes in Silicon Valley or somewhere else.
Right. What inspired you to create Tiny Sponsor? And how can it help? Like, you know, I'm going on this road trip right now for women in tech. So if there's someone like me or me, like, what would you tell me? How can Tiny Sponsor be a part of that journey with a micro influencer to really help bring resource to the mission that we have?
So before I get into Tiny Sponsor,
I'm
gonna ask you to do something if you can.
Yeah. Should I clap? Should I do a dance?
Do a dance? Oh, hey, we're alive. could you repost the stream?
Repost the stream.
My Facebook post.
Right now.
Yes.
Yes, I can go. So get off the podcast. Okay.
Because, and then I'll explain why.
Yeah.
But the reason behind it, so I'll talk about why.
Yeah, go for it.
Is, and go back to LA. So LA has this community of content creators, right? Like yourself.
Yeah.
And one of the best things about, like success in social media influence and all that stuff is really, it's content plus distribution. So I can be here creating great content with you on my stream.
Right.
But without distribution, I mean, I have a little bit of people, you have a little bit of people, but the combination that builds distribution and that combination is what makes the overall package valuable. So what LA is uniquely and distinctly positioned as is that we originate and create content and culture.
Okay, it's been shared.
But what we also do is we distribute it.
Yeah.
You think about Hollywood, right? Distribution is everything. So other markets focus usually on distribution only.
Right.
We have a unique culture in our city where we have all these creators and we have an environment where that's that the diversity and the process of a creation is very, very much reinforced.
Right.
And incentivized. And right. we have industry around that. And so that's actually why Tiny Sponsor is not in San Francisco and why it's in LA.
Right.
One. And two, that's actually why what led me to create it.
We Are LA Tech is independently funded by the community. We couldn't make this happen without your support. If you too want to contribute to We Are LA Tech and see us making the podcast, building the mobile apps, creating the events year after year, consider contributing at patreon.com. That's patreon.com/We Are LA Tech. Thank you. We appreciate you.